Yo, what up? Welcome to another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. I'm Patrick, and it's training camp. It's preseason, technically, and I am joined for it's probably been 2 months or something like that by my good friend and frequent guest, Aram in Toronto. What's up, Aram?
Hello, Patrick. It's haven't seen you since Warriors Christmas, probably NBA draft time. I don't even remember the last time I saw you on this and the last time we talked, but it was a nice long summer. Not a lot of postseason to cover, so that's part of it too. I had a good summer, got to do some traveling. Didn't think too much about basketball, but I was in Taiwan. And if you remember, I sent you a picture, and I was at a famous, I was at Taipei 101, and I saw a basketball team getting ready to go up the tower. And I saw a very tall fellow, and I thought for a split second it was Victor Wembanyama. It was not. This guy was probably about a foot shorter than than Big Vic. But, you know, I think it was like the UC Irvine basketball team or something like that. But it gave me a little bit of excitement for basketball this year. So
that's awesome. Have you seen this thing on, it shows up on my like Instagram Explore, some dude in the Philippines who like kind of looks like Steph, kind of grown like this little beard like Steph. And there's a couple of videos that went viral of him shooting buckets. I don't know if he made any of them or whatever, you know, but, and then one where he's walking through the mall and people are stopping him and taking pictures with him. And the dude is like, I don't know, 5'5". I don't know. And I don't know if there's people that actually think it's, and he's wearing a jersey, of course, maybe the full uniform. I don't know if there's anyone that actually thinks he's Steph, or if they're just like, hey, it's that dude that looks like Steph that I saw on social media, or if it's just like people are taking a picture with this guy who kind of looks like Steph, but a foot shorter or almost a foot shorter. And I'm going to take a picture with him. It's really weird. I'm really confused as to what is happening in these places, but so goes the world.
Well, Steph looks tiny on TV, right? And then, of course, like, I've never met him in real life, but I know that if I saw him in real life, he'd be a giant, right? Like, compared to me. So, you know, I think the TV, you know, gives us a little bit of a weird perspective, especially when he's amongst other giants. But I've not seen that guy, so you're going to have to send it to me and mess up my algorithm.
Maybe my algorithm just sends me a lot of stuff about basketball and then Asia and the Philippines in general. anyway, so yeah, I mean, the last time I think we talked, it was like commiserating about the shoulder shrug of a season that just finished last year. But, you know, put that all aside. It's the first week of the preseason of training camp. And just, you know, give me your thoughts on anything that you saw this week, because me personally, I was like, oh, I'm gonna do an episode with some other folks after media day, and you know, gonna tackle whatever like happens. And then it was like nothing really interesting happened. And from my perspective, that's initially boring, but then like, hey, maybe that's a good thing, right? Nothing like, you know, so-and-so not getting the vax. Yeah. You know, somebody punching somebody else, although there is time for that still. But
plenty of time.
You know, it's like, yeah, but, you know, right now they got, you know, a lot of old heads, a lot of vets kind of tip the scales the other way. And pretty much like seems like dudes who are just, okay, another media day. All right, let's do it and let's get to work. So
after all the quote unquote excitement of last year, I think we could use a little bit of stability this year as the team, of course, could use that. And then as fans too, I think not to rehash too much of last year, but it was exhausting, right? All the drama that happened. So to see a boring media day, hey, not so bad. but still kind of cool to see familiar faces again and some of the new faces, even if they're very old. I mean, I also texted you that image of Chris Paul doing his photo shoot, and I was like, I did a triple take and I'm still looking at it and I'm like, that's AI generated, right? You know, I think the biggest thing that made me think it was fake was because he got a haircut, right? Like he was kind of he had almost shaved it down to like in the, you know, State Farm commercials, he's got a little bit more hair. So I was like, this is so weird. This is so weird. And I think that's going to be the experience. But that's what preseason for. I would say the other thing that I realized too is, and it's nice that he brought it up himself in his interviews, was Wiggins talked about, you know, some of the drama last year. And he was like, you know what? I also wasn't here for, you know, half the season. And, you know, he's really looking forward to getting back to it. And it's like, yeah, that was a big missing piece of the season last year. Mm-hmm. And, you know, of course, everybody was, you know, respectful and giving him his space, but to have him back for, you know, his Iron Man 82 game season, that's what we hope for. That's going to make a huge difference. So, you know, getting GP2 back, all of those kinds of things. Those are things that I'm like cautiously excited for. I mean, you know, after the last few years of having a lot of young players and that idea that like, oh, these guys are going to hit, you know, having some of the old heads that they've brought in, it's maybe a little bit less exciting than usual. Than, you know, compared to the young players, but we still got some young players, and you know, JK might hit, Kuminga might hit, yeah. Right?
I feel the same way. Like it's, you know, the prospects, especially coming off of a title with all like these young dudes, like three lottery picks, a couple other draftees, whatever. It was like, oh yeah, you know, like this is going to be awesome, and then obviously it wasn't. Thanks, Draymond.
yeah,
but. That being said, for as awful as last season was, exhausting, tiring, frustrating as a fan, it's very much like refreshing, right? Because we all knew that after the season, when they finally admitted that the punch affected them like crazy, when they were saying all season long, like, no, it happened. We're handling it in-house. Yeah, you know, we're good. You know, that all of a sudden it's like, you cannot run this back and expect like, you know, everybody to do a group hug, stay away from each other for 3 months and then come back and be okay. So, you know, I'm very, very curious, like the Chris Paul thing, my reaction, I believe, was kind of like to chuckle about it. Cause I was like, cool. You got rid of Poole. And now you got this old dude who I've talked so much trash about and who is one of my most loathed players of the past several years. I mean, off the court seems like a good dude, but on the court, he's been a thorn in our side, even though we get the better of him most of the time. And, but I'm curious. I'm just curious to see how it all plays out and the dynamic on the court, right? Like everything else is kind of all the BS is, just, you know, from media day and the chatter and all that stuff. It's there's nothing there to me, right? Like this idea. Yes. I'm curious to see how it plays out on the court. Yes. Whether or not Chris Paul will, you know, fall in line. He's saying all the right things, you know, like you're reading all these tweets on Monday and Tuesday and the rest of the week, people building off this, like Chris Paul says, you know, he just wants to win. He'll come off the bench. Or I don't know if he said he'll come off the bench. Don't quote me on that. It's like, yeah, what do you expect him to say? The dude is like a 100-year-old vet and he's had months to prep, like with his PR team, his agents, his manager, whatever, what exactly to say for media day on that particular day. And you know, it's good, it's fine, you know, like I'm really looking forward to seeing what happens on the court, because you know, just seeing those clips of Steph and Chris Paul working on the court, I'm like, oh, that's a wrinkle, you know. I really want to see this, you know.
Well, we'll get our chance on I think Saturday, right, against the Lakers, which is always it's always a thing, but you know, I am curious to see. I mean, the defense concerns me. They have made it a point to say that that is what they're going to be focusing on. And again, like having Wiggins for the full season, having a healthy GP2 for the whole season, like that's gonna help. I mean, you almost like don't even need to say, and they need to stay healthy because they're all old. Like we don't need to say that. That's just like, that should be on the top line here, like on both of our screens. Like as long as the Warriors stay healthy, you know,
it's like on Wheel of Fortune when they give you those letters in the final.
Yeah.
Like we'll just give you that as a, you know, you don't even need to mention those things. Although I do mention health all the time. Lakers game, like just off the top of your head, what are you looking for? Obviously, Draymond is out for at least 3 to 6. They said they'll reevaluate him in a couple weeks, but obviously, or at least I think they'll take it really slow because you don't want to have that come up to bite you like 5 months from now or something. So, what are you looking for?
I just want to see. Actually, I just want to see Chris Paul in a Warriors uniform on the court doing things to help us, because like I again like just want to see it all trying to fit together. Like I think it's going to take them some time. Like Kevin Durant was a much better fit, and that even took what, until Christmas? I mean, they had an amazing record anyway, but like it didn't hum for a while, right? And this team will have a much lower margin of error, because all the players are young, are older now. It's just not going to come, like it has to come together faster, right? And so how are they going to figure it out? I want to see how they are going to work more pick and roll. And I mean, Kerr already mentioned that he's going to do that because of Chris Paul, and that's good for Kuminga, that's good for Saric, that's good for the second unit, because it's that simplified thing. I mean, I know we've all kind of clamored for that, and ultimately oftentimes that was their go-to thing. And you know, there's, I think it's still smart to not have to do that all the time, because it's not not only is it not a as pleasing to watch, but it's also, you know, it doesn't involve a lot of the other players, right? And that's one of the reasons why Kerr has cited not going to it so much. But if it simplifies things, helps that second unit stay even, that's all going to help. And it helps people like Kuminga, you know, and Saric, all of those guys. Like why not? You know. So I want to just see how it all plays together.
On that point, like it's going to be interesting to see, you know, even though they're missing Draymond, like they have some veterans out there, see how quickly they can coalesce, how Chris Paul's like basketball mind can maybe help the process along if possible.
Can I ask you who is the vet who is not Chris Paul that you're most excited for? Or most
Saric.
Curious. Yeah.
Saric. Okay. Yeah. Are you kidding me? He's better than Bielitsa, and he's at least played with Chris Paul. Mm-hmm. And I think, I mean, we didn't have anybody like him all last season, you know. No disrespect to Jermichael Green, but he's not Dario Saric in terms of what he could be, you know what I mean? So that's what I'm looking for, how Chris Paul plays with him, how Steph plays with him, how he just kind of maybe gives the Warriors more spacing. It'll be fun to unlock that. I'm looking forward to seeing just a couple things. I want to see Klay play power forward against
the Warriors. Yes.
like guarding even Rui Hachimura, that guy's strong and he's young and he doesn't have a busted leg. What a team to try that out against.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
If I were the Lakers, I would just keep throwing it down there or like punishing him or whatever. And so I'm curious to see how long that lasts. That might not be the best matchup for Klay as a power forward. So that'll be kind of funny. And then, of course, I'm looking to see any progress from Jonathan Kuminga in the aspects of his game that we want to see more of. rebounding.
Yes.
That's one thing. We know he can do it. And without Draymond there, is he going to step up? Everybody, like, once Draymond went out, people were like tweeting or texting like, oh, this is his Draymond David Lee chance.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I'm like, maybe not exactly, you know, not exactly. But like, he can definitely stake a claim for more playing time, for a reason you can't keep him off the court, for a reason to, hey, you can trust him more and rest Draymond. And I want to see if he is more mindful and persistent with his rebounding, and also, you know, just with his on the ball stuff, right? Like, I'd hoped that he would be kind of like a point forward type. I think not this past summer, but the summer before, that's what we were seeing in summer league, and it wasn't going so well. And, you know, the 60 he dropped in some pro-am this past summer, I mean, that's great and all, but every highlight was like a dunk, you know, and every highlight is stuff that we know he can already do. It's just like playing Nerf hoop or something. So, you know, that's what I'll want to see, especially since he'll have to play some power forward against the Lakers.
My young player that I'm most curious about, I really want to see Usman Garuba, like, you know, in the draft a couple years ago. Like, he wasn't picked that much behind Moody, right? And, you know, we didn't hear that much interest from the Warriors about him, but that was a draft that we both scouted heavily, so, and heard a lot about him, right? And that, like, he was one in the long line of the next Draymond Green, right? You're kind of like slightly undersized defensive minded guy, right?
The next Jordan Bell.
Yeah. So I'm, you know, we haven't seen much of him the last few years, but you know, in the World Cup, he had some nice defensive moments. Yeah, why not on a two-way? Seeing if a young guy who has some athleticism, some size, can be a contributor. Yeah, why not? And then maybe he can get converted down the line if he's showing something, right?
Absolutely. We definitely like that dude in that draft. Obviously, I didn't follow him in Houston, so I don't know exactly. I mean, Houston has been a disaster the last couple of years. So, you know, bringing him into the system, and then, as you said, being like he's another Draymond. Hey, the Warriors can throw a bunch of 6'8 dudes at power forwards, apparently, right? We have 6'8 centers, you know, like even Rudy Gay, I think, is 6'8.
Yeah.
So Garuba minutes will be interesting. And even the rookie, you know what I mean? Trayce Jackson-Davis.
Yeah.
That's something I'm curious about. Like, is he, as plug and play as we hope, because that's the whole point of getting rid of Patrick Baldwin and getting the draft pick that turned into Jackson Davis. And that dude played 4 years, averaged 20 and 10 his last year as a senior. And it's like, of course he won't be instant plug and play, but it's like, you'll see if he understands the game and how quickly he's picking up. You know, it's just a week or so, but even before then, he's working out how quickly he picks up what the Warriors are about and what they're trying to do. I have high hopes for that guy, because, you know, like, he doesn't need to play beyond himself. You know what I mean? He just needs to play within what he is good at. And I think he could, you know, help the team legit. I have high hopes for that dude, given solid minutes this year. Honestly, I'm not so high on pods, but we'll see what happens. That guy's not really gonna play too much this year anyway.
No, I don't think so. In terms of things that you're excited about, you know, we covered some of the Warriors stuff. I was curious, you know, are there some other teams and other players that you're excited around the league, you know, because this is not just you know, we like to track other players and other teams. So I'm curious. Are you looking at new guys in new situations and wondering how that's going to go? I have a few, and then I have some teams. Like, I don't know if they're, you know, a lot of people will talk about their quote unquote their league pass teams. So I have a few of those, and that I'm really curious about how that's going to work out. So I'm going to give you some of my guys in new places I'm excited about. So, Now I had to look up the phonetics of this, but I'm gonna mess it up. Sasha Vezenkov in Sacramento. You know, he's you know, Sacramento had a great year last year. It was like such a great feel good story. And they're fun to watch. And this is another addition to their front court. He was a EuroLeague MVP, and which is not an easy thing to do. I'm really excited to see how. I mean, I think when he signed, or when he got announced that he was going to be coming over to them, you know, saw some clips and was reading about him a little bit. And, you know, obviously the Kings are our competition, but it's just fun to see new players that you've never seen before. And I'm very curious how it's going to work out with them, because they didn't really add that much. You know, they didn't do too big of a change, which, you know, you can kind of respect in some ways. They're trying to keep the vibes going, and I guess we'll see what happens with them. Shall I go on to my other guys, or do you have some guys?
No, it depends. How many you got?
Well, I got two more. I got two more.
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. I mean, this team scares me in a way that they'll be next, but probably next is OKC, and I want to see Chet Holmgren. I think, you know, we got one skinny tall guy coming in the league, but there's the previous tall skinny guy from the year before, and it'll be really interesting to see. I mean, they take up so much space. They can block a ton of shots. You know, I don't think anybody thinks he's going to be as good as Wemby, but he was a top prospect. He was a top prospect, and you know, I don't think there's anything to doubt that from seeing some of the stuff that he was able to do in the summer league. How he'll hold up over the season with his Sean Bradley build is going to be interesting. But guy is super talented, and just even the defensive side of things, like, you know, that's going to be a really tough matchup.
I remember a few years ago, like, I think Wiseman's after his rookie year or something, and I was like, oh man, I can't wait to see him and Chet Holmgren play each other in the league at some point. I don't think anyone else is ever saying that again.
There's a few sickos though out there, you know.
It's funny, dude. Like, I remember a few years back, and I think Chet Holmgren was maybe a senior, before his senior year, maybe junior. I don't know. It's all a blur. But like, I remember looking at Instagram and my Explorer and seeing like this dude, and I had no idea who he was. I just saw like this really skinny dude, and he looked kind of goofy, and I was like, yeah, he's pretty good. But I was like, this dude's a white Kevin Durant. Then like fast forward, like, you know, 6 months, and like, oh, this guy's actually like the number two guy, or number one, number two guy in his class.
When he was starting to get that profile, I think when he was in high school still, people were starting to write about him. I saw that he was from Wisconsin, I think. And I was like, Holmgren, huh? Like Mike Holmgren, like former Packers coach. I was like, let me look this guy up. And then I was like, no, I don't think, not similar body types.
It does not look like a cuddly walrus. No.
No.
Who else you got?
Okay. And my last one was, I don't know where I saw this on a feed or I was reading articles, and I was like, oh, of course, you know, with the Sixers, they have all this stuff that's happening with James Harden and stuff. But then there was a split screen where Pat Beverly and Kelly Oubre were both doing a presser on their media day. So I was like, I'm curious how that's going to work out. I mean, the Sixers are going to be interesting whatever way this goes. So that's those are guys I want to see how that works. And that's a team. I'm just like, wow. I mean, who knows with them?
Yeah. I think that's going to be a disaster. I cannot believe, I'm not following it that closely because I don't really care. But this whole James Harden thing, it's like, oh my God, you know, like how many times, just look at the the Holy Trinity that they got over to the Nets, right? Obviously, it's James Harden who's the one who's holding out, wants to be traded, all this jazz. And it's like, oh my gosh, you know, these guys, hey, it's well within their rights, I suppose, but it's just, it's gross, man. And like, why? I wonder how much James Harden thinks. I wonder if he's expecting the max at this point in his career. And I don't know if anybody, I expect no one be rational enough to give it to him, but also, you know, I never put it past the NBA to, you know, some team to be like, oh yeah, let's do that. You know,
just takes one team. And, you know, he had a decent year last year. It was pretty good actually. And if he had just kind of like stuck to it and just go forward and like, I don't know. It's just weird. It's a little weird.
Yeah, that'll be great. In three years and, you know, 30 pounds more.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay. Yeah. My turn.
Yeah.
Teams. I mean, a couple of these are pretty obvious. I want to see Dame play with Giannis, just that dynamic. I mean, I think you'd mentioned to me like the idea of Steph and Giannis playing is something that has been a curiosity to all of us. Obviously, you know, the idea that after Kevin Durant, maybe we could magically get Giannis over here. You know, Dame is the closest thing to Steph, you know, just as a long distance shooter, as a point guard, a scoring point guard, one of the greatest. So I'm really curious about that. And of course, I want him to do well as long as it's not against the Warriors in the finals or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I'm really, really curious about that dynamic. And I'm also curious because, like, you know, now that the Celtics have Jrue Holiday, I'm just very, very fascinated to see that first game that they play against each other is like, I gotta, you know, you gotta pencil that into your schedule, right? Because that is going to be really, really, really fascinating. Because, you know, like I've talked about this before to you and in general, that I don't believe in the Celtics. I don't believe in Jason Tatum. I think I said that like the last three episodes or something. I'm curious to see how this will all play out. I like Jrue Holiday. He's my favorite dude on that Celtics team. Mm-hmm. But I hope the Bucks take it to them personally. So that's one team, the Bucks. And then honestly, kind of in connection to that, the next one is I want to see Scoot Henderson. I think that dude's rookie of the year.
Yeah.
I want to see him. I want to see him play with Ayton. If Ayton can, if they'll get along.
Yeah.
If Rob Williams will be healthy or if he's going to get traded. And, you know, what's his name? Shaedon Sharpe.
Yeah.
They have a lot of young, fun dudes. And all of a sudden, and now they have a bunch of assets. And all of a sudden you blink. And they are in a great rebuilding position, just like maybe not as extreme, but like OKC, Orlando, the Pistons. I mean, you know, whatever that means. So I'm encouraged and very interested to see how that all plays out because I want to see Scoot Henderson because there was all that pre-draft chatter with the Warriors like, oh, maybe they'll trade Kuminga and trade up and get to the number two spot and get Scoot Henderson. And I was like, no, but I was like, maybe.
Delusions across NBA fans. Yes. No, the Blazers, that's a great one. I mean, we were talking about like other teams that we're really curious about watching. I mean, that's a top one. And, you know, talk about like, they did really well. I think against all of our expectations. And, you know, because they were so relatively bad the last few years, they have pieces like Shaedon Sharpe, you know, ready to go. And Scoot Henderson, it's like now he can drive, right? Without the driving instructor, too. You know, he's got his full license. So that's super exciting to see. And, you know, we need some of those young teams. You know, another one of my kind of league pass teams will be the Pistons. They're kind of my sleeper. Like I always like watching them. you know, convincing Monty Williams to take several truckloads of money to coach that team. Oh my God, that was a big contract. And see Cade Cunningham be fully healthy with a whole bunch of athletic dudes running around. I don't know that
like who?
Some big guy that seems kind of recognized. I don't know that all the pieces are going to fit, but it's going to be fascinating either way. So that's a team that I like following. And and then you know, on the other side of the spectrum is Phoenix. I think, you know, when they made the Bradley Beal trade, it was like, you know, that roster was like gutted, right? It was just like, who's gonna fill out this roster? But they did a good job of, you know, bringing back some of their vets and convincing some others to join there. And then the further moves that they made and turning Ayton into some other usable pieces. I mean, it's going to be really interesting to see how that comes together. And, you know, to say, especially defensively, how that's going to work. But they're, you know, I would expect they'd be a really tough matchup for anybody. So that's definitely one to be a little wary of for in terms of the Warriors. But it'll be fun to see.
Yeah. Yeah, going back to the Pistons, it's like, it's funny, right? Because these other teams that I mentioned, whether it's the Magic or OKC, it's like people see promise in those teams because their young players have developed. And it sucks that Cade has been hurt because he's really good still. He's not a bust by any stretch of the imagination. And they got I forgot which Thompson brother they got, but they have some really nice pieces. And like you said, Monty Williams is the key to all of this. It's, you know, it was clear that they needed a change of scenery in terms of coaches. Cause, I mean,
Dwayne Casey.
Now, yeah. Dwayne Casey, you know, great coach, but kind of old, you know, just past his prime in terms of not necessarily relating to the kids, but I just think his coaching and he just doesn't have it, you know what I mean? And like, it's kind of reminds me of that era of 90s Warriors basketball where it was like, we would just get all these retread coaches. And I don't think there's as many retreads in the NBA as there used to be because there's always promising guys. And they're doing a better job in general of finding coaches from different places, right? Like other benches, right? It used to be like, get the big name college coach, right? Yeah. Calipari, Rick Pitino,
PJ Carlissimo.
I remember when it was like the Warriors, oh, they're going after Rick Majerus, you know, out of Utah. And it's like, let's do it. Yeah, he's a winner. I'm looking forward to seeing how that all plays out. And of course, I'll keep, you know, an eye on Wiseman, not the corner of my eye, but I mean, we can go through all the teams, but the last team that I'll mention that I'm curious to see is the Clippers. Because I think they're not going to be very good. I think obviously those guys, Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, hurt a lot. So I'm curious to see if they are even going to be, you know, if they're going to be struggling to make the playoffs or struggling to stay out of the play-in. Because I can see that it's done, you know, it's over. Yeah. And they didn't get Jrue Holiday. So, you know, they're kind of last gasps, perhaps.
And last gasp for James Harden, too. But, you know, good podcast content coming out of Clippers land, though. I don't know if you saw the announcement, but WNBA. New team in the Bay Area. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I think that's awesome. I think that's fantastic. More money for Joe Lacob.
Yeah.
Which means more money to spend on the Warriors roster and you know, the WNBA roster and whatever. No, but I think it's great. You know, I think I don't know how many teams there are, but I think it's fantastic. I think it's great for fans in the Bay Area, and you know, maybe I'll be able to afford to go to a game at Chase Center.
That's right. That's
honestly, right. So no, I think it's cool to see like WNBA come into the Bay, and I think it's great for everybody there, you know.
Yeah, I'm starting to follow the WNBA a little bit more, and so it'll be, but you know, one of the things was like, oh, but I don't have a team to root for, so now I'll have a team to root for, which I think will be nice to kind of be able to get into it more. I'll be curious to see what all the details are of the team. You know, are they going to have, you know, because there were some previous attempts by other groups. Like, I think there was a African-American led group that was really pushing for a WNBA team. And I wonder if, you know, like the Warriors are community minded, at least, you know, optically, and are they going to try to, you know, make connections throughout the Bay Area to build this team and ensure its success and that kind of things. I mean, just like the NBA, like the WNBA, it's such a great market in the Bay Area to have basketball, you know, and you know, there's such a tradition of women's basketball in the Bay Area too. So so it's pretty exciting. I can't wait to hear what the name is, and I hope it's not.
Yeah.
I hope it doesn't suck, but, and yeah, I hope they have some cool jerseys or something.
Yeah, 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 and I hope Steph uses his clout to get some good players to the Bay. Yeah. You know, like, because he's been such a big supporter of women's sports across the board, and you know, his Under Armour sponsorship. So, you know, work on that stuff. So,
okay. The other thing in the news today, and I don't know how much you followed it this summer, but Joel Embiid, sources say that he has, committed to Team USA, for next year's Olympics. He had the opportunity to play for Cameroon, France, or USA. And this report is saying that he is going to play for USA. He had been coy about it. He hadn't made up his mind, but I don't know if you watched any of the FIBA World Cup in the summertime.
Proudly, no.
Okay. I did watch it. You know, they had all the Team Canada games on TV here. And so I caught some of that, and without knowing or without getting too much into particulars, like, the international game is different. Having reliable big men is a huge thing. So, you know, at first I was kind of like, I don't know if I want Joel Embiid on the team, not because I don't like him as a player, but just like stylistically, I was like, I don't want a big guy like clogging up the lane for all the other stars. Right. But, but again, I was thinking about the international game. It's like, yeah, you need big men. And that was one of the Team USA's big problems, is Jaren Jackson couldn't stay on the floor and he couldn't grab any rebounds. And then they had very little depth after that. And, you had all these international bigs who really knew how to play that style and just, you know, kind of bullied around. So, your thoughts on Joel Embiid on Team USA?
Oh, I mean, I think it's great. You know, like, I did know that the Warriors, not the Warriors, the Warriors do struggle with size, but no, the Team USA, was struggling with size, and instantly it's like, oh, this fixes a lot, right? Mm-hmm. You know, in terms of stylistic fit, I'm curious to see what Kerr does with him, because Embiid is skilled in other ways, and it'll give them a chance to have different looks. And you know, like in the 92 Barcelona games, it's like different starting lineups. Remember, Chuck Daly would always throw out different starters, and I think that this is something that Steve Kerr could potentially do. I don't know if he would. But also, and, you know, I said this a couple weeks back, it's funny to me, this whole, you know, it's like the patterns of Team USA, right? Like, the U.S. is beating everybody. Then in 88, the college guys lose. And it's like, oh, yeah? Well, we're coming back with our best guys in 92. Yeah. And we dominated. And then, you know, over the course of several years, that Team USA became less important to people, and you kind of had like Vin Bakers of the world represent the country. And then all of a sudden they eventually lose And it's like, okay, yeah, we're getting the best guys together. And it's like, oh, it's the Redeem team. We're doing it. Yeah, we dominate. And then it's like, okay, well, you know, we did that. And now it's, all right, these young dudes, they lost. And it's like, oh, we're going to come back and we're going to dominate. So I think those are the things that are really fun to see when the best players actually come together and all these people who are committing. And of course, Steph, like, he's never played in the Olympics. And it's almost like Kobe, right? Kobe didn't play in the Olympics until like later in his career because stuff came up, his legal case in Colorado, and then injuries. And with Steph, it's various things, right? Like, what was it, the Zika virus or something in Brazil?
Well, and, I think that one was also, that was 2016. And so he, that was after, he had that MCL injury after the playoff run too, right? So
2016,
I think that was Rio, right?
Yeah, it was Rio. But in general, I'm looking forward to it, and you know, pile it on. You know, Embiid wants to play for the U.S. Great, you know, like I want to see the spectacle of all these guys, and then see how Kerr puts it together. And I want to see competitive basketball, but I also enjoy back in the day when the Warriors would just be chest thumping. Not the Warriors, Team USA would be chest thumping. Also the Warriors, and just blowing guys out. But I don't, you know, it won't be like that. But it is interesting, right? Like if he played for France. They could conceivably throw out Embiid, Wembanyama, and
Rudy Gobert. Yeah.
Gobert, right? As like all these centers, these 7-foot menaces.
Wouldn't that be hilarious and amazing? Like if you had a you had all those guys on the front court, on the court together, like I mean, you could do some kind of like weird zone or something like that, you know, and have cover a lot of ground. So
yeah,
but we won't see it now. So
we won't see it, man. Are you just on off the side? Like, are you excited about Wembanyama? Are you gonna be eyeing him as closely? Because I'm a little burnt out on all the Wembanyama hype from like the last couple years.
Yeah,
and that's why like I'm more intrigued to see Scoot Henderson play, just because I think he could be that dynamic.
Yeah.
But you know, that's just,
I, to answer your question, yes, I am burned out on it. But it's for more petty reasons than that. It's because like he went to the Spurs. Like I can't, like, I'm so mad about that. Like it's not right. If he was on a different team, if he went to the Pacers or whatever, I'd be like, yeah, I want to see him play. And now I'm just like, I don't want to see another big man in a Spurs jersey, another generational big man in a Spurs jersey. It's like, ugh, give me a break, man. Like, it makes me so mad. It's totally irrational and petty, but it's not right.
I thought Popovich was going to retire, or he was talking retirement not too long ago. Did that change before or after the Wembanyama draft pick?
I think he got his extension after, but we'd have to go back and check that. I mean, it was whatever 80 million reasons to convince him to come back. So, hey, good for him. It's a lot of red wine.
Yeah, the NBA is better with him in it.
Yeah.
I want to try a new segment just for see how it goes. This might be my new thing, right? Since it's a new season. So I have this thing called Dope, Nope, and Hope, right?
Okay.
And I want you to tell me something in each category. Like, you know, something you think is dope, you know, coming up about the season, about the Warriors, about the NBA, about Bay Area sports. And then the same for Nope. And then Hope. Hope is a little something where you're like, okay, you know, some reason to believe, you know. So
okay. I mean, I guess I'm gonna go back to what we talked about. Dope is WNBA, and their jerseys better be great. The Warriors better really invest in the community and get people out for that. I'm really looking forward to that. I was hoping that they would add a team in Toronto that I like you said, that I could afford to go to. let's see. Hope. I mean, you know, we joked they need good health, but like we need like a Rick Celebrini masterclass this year. And like whatever it takes. I really want to see this team give it a real shot. And I think with their recalibration, getting the vets in, it's like, okay, you didn't want the kids. Like you want to do it your way. I think Mike Dunleavy was responsive to that. I think ownership was responsive to that. And here you go, you know, and it's in a way, it's kind of, it's a lot less excuses now for this core, you know, like you say you want this and like, here you go. Right. And they'll still have some flexibility, after this. And I think it is a kind of a big swing, this Chris Paul. But you know, Mike Dunleavy always talks about, he always mentions whenever this offseason he talked about Chris Paul, they always said optionality. So it's nice that they're not locked into this and that, hey, after this season, you know, if this doesn't work out, a lot of things could change. So I'm hopeful, cautiously hopeful for that. Okay. So nope. Okay. I got two for you. You said Bay Area sports wise. So, I mean, I've reached a point with my Giants fandom this year where, it's something that a lot of Giants fans have said, it's just, man, it's not very entertaining. And there's not a lot of hope to have, you know, and like, and the kids ain't ready. The vets aren't good. I've been watching some of these wild card games this last week and seeing players who can actually hit the ball and not just like tap it, but like hit it with authority. It's just like, wow, the difference is stark, and the Giants have a long way to go. I mean, it's kind of amazing that, that they were able to be as close as they were all season. And, you know, part of that was all the optimization that they were doing. But man, it does take some of the soul out of the game. And it's not just the Giants, you know, Blue Jays had a wild card elimination game yesterday, and they made an analytically driven decision and that backfired. And it just goes against your kind of like baseball logic to say that and to believe in players and to believe that players can play instead of they are chess pieces that are gamed into this this model. That yes, of course, like probability makes, you know, there's a case for making an analytically driven probability model and blah 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 blah, blah driving your decisions. Man, I mean, these are people out there, and it's kind of, I don't know. I kind of feel like I would rather go down with people rather than the analytical framework. My last nope is, this ties back to Rick Celebrini, is that the Sharks are going to be terrible this year. They are going to be so bad. The worst top six defensemen in the entire league. I feel bad for some of their vets like Hurdle and Logan Couture. I don't know what they're going to do. They may have a few breakouts, but they don't have a lot of prospects. But this ties back to Rick Celebrini in that his kid is one of the top NHL prospects in the 2024 draft. Yeah, so who knows? A Bay Area connection may come through. The Sharks play as expected and are terrible and get a top draft pick, and then they'll bring I forgot what his first name is, but they'll bring Celebrini to the Bay.
Okay, those are all very, very good dope hopes. My dope, I did have WNBA listed there, but you took that, and we talked about that a lot. But so my dope thing is, did you see this thing? You know, Pablo Torre, he talked about, or he had somebody on talking about what Jordan Poole might have said to Draymond.
Oh,
Green
yeah. I did see
that. And it was, paraphrasing, you're just an expensive backpack for 30.
Yeah.
And I cracked up. I think that is dope. I think that is funny as hell. And I just,
you like that, huh?
Think it is. Yeah. Yeah. I think that is hilarious. Hilarious. It's not a very deep, contribution by me to this category, but like, I just thought that was really, really, really funny. And whether or not it's true, whether or not it's something else, people have said other things, whatever, it put a smile on my face. And I definitely do not take that for granted at this point in the early season. I guess it came out at the end of the off season. So I thought that was hilarious. And it cracks me up that set Dre off. It is what it is. My nope is very connected to this, because you know that I've talked about how much I dislike Jordan Poole's game and how I couldn't stand watching him last season. Mm-hmm. There were times where I was like, oh, maybe he is good. Maybe he is this guy. And this is over the past few years. And it was like, nah, you know? And that, as I said before, like, somebody had to go. But I'd always sided with Poole in this, you know, Draymond punch thing. And seeing clips of him in his Wizard uniform on media day, shooting buckets, I'm actually happy for the guy. And like, my nope is that, you know, to hell with Jordan Poole, like, hate. I want to see the kid do well.
Yeah.
Like, I am really, like, rarely does a player leave the Warriors where I'm hoping that they'll do well. I mean, now there's two of them, right? I'm Wiseman and Poole, because partly maybe because I'm older right now, and like, these guys are so young, and you know, I'm like, kind of, yeah, these kids, you know, just wish them the best. I guess people really mean that sometimes. But looking at Poole, it's like, he went through such BS here,
yeah,
with some of the stuff. And yeah, he's a brash kid, but like, he's not the biggest trash talker in the league. He's not the most selfish player in the league. He's not the worst player in the league. You know, he's not the most delusional player in the league. So he got a raw deal, and he's taking the high road smartly, because to talk back to Draymond in the media is a losing proposition, mm-hmm. right? So I want to see him do well. I want him to be like, you know, I want him to make Warriors fans feel like, oh, well, maybe we traded the wrong guy. Not because I want to see the Warriors do poorly, but for the first time, like, I want to see this guy who left the Warriors really, really flourish. It's like when Gilbert Arenas left, I was like, oh, I hope he's not as good as I think he's going to be.
And he was better. Well, you know what? Jordan Poole helped us win that championship. He helped us win a couple of those playoff games. So I always be thankful for him. And I think he's going to do well. He had a tough situation coming in to that terrible year. And he was also terrible. And he worked his ass off to become what he is, and getting that contract and getting to the point where he could, you know, be on a new team that wants to give him the keys, you know, and more power to him. And yeah, I hope he does well. And he'll be up there in the scoring rankings. Just don't fall down so much, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. Like, I'm hoping that his game will evolve, you know.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I want to see. I'll be looking from afar. And then, again, that was my nope, because nope to the Jordan Poole antipathy. The hope is kind of obvious, kind of, you know, normal. But I'm hopeful for Klay Thompson this year, because he seems to get the, you know, whatever, mental block out. He played over the summer. He looks good. He seems like he has this burden lifted off him a little bit more. Mm-hmm. It feels like it's never going to be fully off, but every year, a little bit more, maybe, you know, or with every month of playing. And also, he's in a contract year, and I understand that he's not a max player, but he sure as hell is going to play really, really hard and really, presumably really, really well. And I'm also looking forward to seeing, like, you know, his minutes with Chris Paul and seeing how that goes. So I think he's going to, I'm hopeful that he's going to have a really just excellent season. He doesn't have to look over his shoulder at Jordan Poole. So I'm very hopeful for that dude. And, you know, I just want to see him. I don't necessarily think he'll be an all-star, but he played well, you know, led league in three-pointers made last season or something. But just having that full consistency, not starting off the year with, you know, tired legs and a rusty stroke. So I'm very much looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to seeing, like, as you said, Gary Payton is back and healthy. Andrew Wiggins hopefully is with, you know, on the court more than half the season. And then Clay, he wasn't really Clay early in the last season. So a full season of those guys, more or less, you know, that's a lot. And when people say, look at the roster, it's, you know, like how have they gotten better since last year? It's like those three things are additions that a lot of folks overlook, right? Because they're so used to seeing those names on the roster. It's like, you know, you add Wiggins in the mix for, you know, what was he gone, 3 months? And that gives you a bunch more wins. Maybe not on the road, because they still didn't like each other on the road. But also, like, Wiggins was like Poole's, seemed to be Poole's closest friend on the team.
That's true.
And Wiggins was gone for a while. So that's another gap in the chemistry. So,
yeah,
you know, that's my dope nope hope.
Yeah. Let's hope for some more road wins this year.
I mean, I think last year was such an aberration because of that the probability of them trying to of them like playing worse on the road is nearly impossible.
Yeah.
Considering reasonable health, and also because they have more vets, they're not gonna get shook. You know, you're not looking at the bench and seeing Wiseman, Kuminga, Baldwin Jr., Moody, and Ryan Rollins with deer in the headlights eyes, you know what I mean? Like, so it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to the start of the season. But
yeah,
anyway, anything else you got?
No, let's get to this Warrior season. Let's have a good one.
Are they gonna beat the Lakers?
No, not on Saturday.
Is it in LA or is it in the SF?
I don't even know.
Who really cares?
It's preseason. Where's preseason? We don't know these things yet. Come on.
It's at the Agua Caliente Stadium or whatever that is.
A neutral site.
All right, man. Thanks for coming on.
All right. See you soon. Always.
All right. Well, that is another episode of the Oakland Warriors podcast. Be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Feel free to hit me up on Twitter at Patrick E. Pino or at Oakland Warriors. Check out our YouTube channel where you can watch this episode, youtube.com/Oakland Warriors. Check us out at oaklandwarriors.com, and be sure to tell your fellow Warrior fan friends to tune in and listen. The Oakland Warriors podcast is produced by National Film Society. And if you're so inclined, please do leave us a 5-star rating on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And if you want to leave us a nice review saying good stuff about the show on Apple Podcasts, that would be hugely, hugely appreciated, and it would be very, very helpful. Thanks. That's it.
Music in this episode provided by Paper Sun. Special thanks to Paul Amardo for production support. See you next time.